I want to read to you from Jeremiah here, Jeremiah chapter number 2, and with the Lord's help, verse 17, "Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, when he led thee by the way? And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of the of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee." You know, sometimes I really think I'm this way at home. Somebody's backsliding in my church, or somebody's getting worldly, or somebody's fixing to quit the church. I almost feel it's a personal vendetta to try to get up and tell them how bad it's going to be. But actually, their own wickedness shall correct them, and their own backslidings shall reprove them. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm really not going to preach on that part about the fear, but you know that's the truth, don't you? Years ago, when I was a child and I was sitting in the Carnac Pentecostal Church, and the back door of the church opened, one of the city sinners had come up our church steps and had stepped in through them old wooden doors and in the back of the church. And there was a hush that fell over the church. It was at a unique time in the service. It wasn't at the beginning or at the end. I mean, I don't even remember what part of the service we were in when he stepped through the back doors of the Pentecostal church there at Carnac. And when he did, he reached down, I mean, sinner garb, sinner life, sinner home, sinner everything. He reached down and he took his shoes off. He wouldn't walk down to the altar with his shoes on, because he had a godly reverence and a fear of being in the presence of God. We're losing that. We're losing that. I mean, pastors can preach their heart out straight from the Word of God and be met in the vestibule by somebody that wants to challenge, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." Individuals in this world can literally backslide, sitting right in the house of God. You know you are, because you know you're doing things now that you would have never used to have done. You're living like you never, you're allowing things that you would never, backslide right in the house of God. And yet at the end of a service, walk out and be just as jovial as the children of God who are sacrificing and sanctifying their lives, remembering that the righteous are scarcely going to make it. The righteous are scarcely going to be saved. I mean, the most holiest person sitting in this room tonight, living 100% for God as much as they possibly can, are scarcely. Scarcely. And so I would say everybody else that's marginal in here tonight is extremely marginal. But I want to preach something to you tonight. I want to preach on returning to the shallows. That's what I want to preach about, returning to the shallows. You know, I never was very good at it, but science is an amazing thing. I don't preach against science. I don't preach against learning stuff about some things. I really don't, because, you know, I may not agree with all of its conclusions and everything that comes up with. Of course, they never call me and ask me. But I know that through scientific study that they've taken the DNA code and they've broken it, and they're able to do things now with DNA that they never were. They're able to clear people that's been in prison for years and years innocently. With the DNA code, they're able to trace down some genetic defects now in births. I mean, it's phenomenal what some people can do when they set themselves to it. And through science, I know for a fact, through science, some of the childhood diseases that used to just crumble our nation, Now those diseases have succumbed to inoculations because science has put its head together and started devising means. And I know through science, to a limited degree, they're studying space now. In fact, a few weeks ago or a few months ago, when they sent them that Mars rover up to wherever they sent it to, Mars, one of them's name was Spirit, and one of them's name was Opportunity. I loved it, man. I got the newspaper one Sunday morning, and it said that Spirit has ceased moving on Mars. I mean, it was backed up and the machine wasn't working right, and it said, Spirit has ceased working on Mars. And so I preached that Sunday morning on, is there life on Mars? I mean, Paul said there was. He went on Mars Hills and said there was. But I'm telling you something. Science, in a limited way, they've studied until now then our harvests are better, crops are better, corn is sweeter. I mean, they've developed things now until it's absolutely astounding what science has done. You hang on. I also noticed something else about science. Science got around and they said, well, look at this little honeybee, this little old stinging booger. Look at this thing. Look how it has a hive, and look at its structure, and look at the queen, and look at the drones, and look at how it does, and look at how good this stuff is for you. And they have so ingested the hive and the bees. Science has done that until it's a study in itself. And those things mesmerize me. I know that spider bites have been recognized by science now, and I know that they've looked at bumblebee stings, and I know that rabies, them things that foam it. I mean, all of these things, many of these things have been conquered by science. But you know, there is still in nature a phenomenon that science has not been able to figure out. There is. In nature, there is a phenomenon that they've not been able to explain. They just do not completely understand it. And that is, why is it that the largest mammals on earth, and I'm not talking about elephants, rhinoceros, hippopotamuses, I'm talking about a whale now, science cannot understand why some of the largest mammals on this planet, they can't understand these huge creatures of the great ocean, these mammals that give live birth, and they have an ability to withstand pressure at great depths, and they have a communication one to another, and they have a migration, and they have a feeding pattern. Science has never been able yet to figure out why there is the phenomenon where they beach themselves. I know this is just thrilling you, but you hang on a minute, because I'm preaching tonight on returning to the shallows. They've never been able to figure out why, having in such depth and such safety and such an atmosphere that's conducive for their growth and livelihood and reproduction and family pod and everything about them, science has never been able to figure out what it is in those creatures that make them want to turn from their place of safety and their place of origin, their place of food and their place of sustenance, and their place of livelihood and their place of blissful life, and head for the shallows where everybody knows it's immediate destruction for those mighty creatures. They've never been able to figure that out. Why would these creatures want to head for the shallows when they know how good it used to be in the depths? You know, park rangers buried about 100 pilot whales Monday that defied frantic rescue efforts, continuing to beach themselves on the island of Tasmania. During the ordeal that began Saturday, the whales frustrated rescuers' attempts to keep them in deep water, returning repeatedly to the deadly shallows off the island of the South State of Australia. Just couldn't figure out why that they repeatedly turn themselves to the shallows when they had the depths to enjoy. Now listen, these whales, they're not like us human beings. We are naked oriented, suntan addicted, melanoma factories. We're premature aging, premature wrinkling due to the ultraviolet rays of the sun. We are shallow seekers because we want to be suntan reapers. Whales ain't that way. They know that if they get in the shallow waters, it won't be very much longer before they're going to find themselves dying quickly. I mean, those enormous bodies, they have to have the weight of the depths to hold them up. They can't even breathe when they get in shallow water. They've got to have the protection of the water's different elements to keep the ultraviolet rays from penetrating their skin. They've got to have the depths. And really, I see this, and I know this, that a whale with its sensitivity to light and with its sensitivity to the sun, it just common sense that you'd stay away from those things that you know are going to kill you. And yet, they don't. They beach themselves. And science can't figure out why. Of course, that if I can get science to figure out about the whales, then I'm liable to contact them about our Pentecostal churches and try to figure out why under God's heaven somebody that has been enjoying the depths, hearing deep call unto deep, finding themselves where God's blessings have been so procured unto the glory of God that suddenly, without knowledge and without any kind of sane reasoning, they turn themselves to the shallow, beach themselves in a way that everybody around them knows that their days are numbered, their hide is fried, their lives have been completely wrecked and completely ruined, and with all the rescue efforts involved, there are some that absolutely are hell-bent on going to hell. I don't know why that is. I don't know what it is in a young preacher that would look in a mirror one night and say, I have the Word of God in my heart, and would look in that same mirror the next night and act like he didn't even know that there was God within a million miles of his life. I don't know what gets into a person. I don't know what gets into a church piano player. They can feel the touch and the power of God as they run their fingers across the keys, enjoying the depths of God's power and the depths of God's blessing. And the next time you see them, they are so shallow. Their dress is shallow and their life is shallow and their home is shallow and their experience is shallow. I don't know what gets into people like that. I don't know why there's something in us that continually wants to return to the shallows. Hey, I've been trying to preach around here that the results of this camp meeting ought to launch us into a weekend revival. And yet this coming weekend, there will be some individuals that don't even make it to the house of God. They'll find 1,000 other things to do, convincing themselves that I did my part during the week. And therefore, I'm telling you something. I don't know why we continually want to go shallow when God has such a storehouse of blessing. Hey, listen. There's some of us preachers that have never really tapped in to the depths of God's anointing to stand behind a pulpit and feel heaven breathe down the back of our neck until we recognize that we are speaking as men from another world. There's people that's never sung with the depths of the anointing of God that they could. There's individuals in our churches that have never shouted with the depths of the power of God that they could. Content to be in the shallows. At least they're a little wet, yes, but you're a little dying. Every single solitary minute, any time that you are in more shallow water than the depths of God's blessing, it's killing you. Pray, sweetheart. So I know the story about Jonah's well. I know he beached and he belched, and a prophet came up on the dry land. And I know that if you really wanted to consider it this way, that you could say that God is able to save to the uttermost from a blubber host. But that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. What I really want to preach about tonight is the tendency in those whales. I mean, this was a special whale here, buddy. You know, you hook this guy, you got something on the other end of your line. But there's just something about seaside suicide. There's just something about a deliberate attempt to move to the shallows. There's just something about a deliberate attempt to leave the depths. There's just something about a deliberate attempt to take the Word of God, rub it in the nose of God, and tell God, I will not, I shall not, I have not, and I have no intentions. There's just something about a person that has been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and knows better. There's just something about somebody that has received the call of God on their life, and they turned around from the pulpit and quit like a common man would quit pumping gas down at the gas station. The calling of the Lord is without repentance. I'm just trying to tell you, it's a serious, dangerous thing. My backslider friend, sitting in this house tonight, knowing better and not living right, you're in dangerous water. Brother Hyde, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to take a better person than you to convince me. I know it. That's why God said, I'll convince them. When they lose their fear for me, I'll take care of their wickedness. I'll take care of the reproach. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's not one preacher in this house that can pass judgment on you. There's not one deacon in this house that can pass judgment on you. But if you've turned from the depths of an experience that you've had in God, and you are now more shallow today than you were yesterday, God, through His Word, who does not lie, has stated very plainly, if you have procured this unto yourself, you're the only guy, you're the only gal that's going to have to stand in judgment for it. Just the fact that I'm standing here tonight telling you that you didn't have to do it cleans my hands. Just the very fact that we're having a camp meeting, paying the bill, turning the light on, and telling you didn't have to do it, it clears our name. Just the thought that I'm preaching, trying to reach you tonight, that clears my name. You're the only one in the house. You're the only one in the house that will stand responsible for your lifestyle. You're the only one in the house. You're the only one in the house. I think a person who made a vow 20 years to God that they wouldn't do such and such, if they're doing such and such tonight, even if they are what? Even if they are owner of a red, white, and blue saxophone that looks patriotic, I say that person has headed for the shallows and away from the depths. Preachers 20 and 30 years ago that told me how to live and how to look, how to act and how to walk. They told me how to behave myself and they told me how to preach. Oh yes, I would be met by some. Just about every time you go someplace, I'd be met by some that would like me to go down the five different things of holiness, the pants, the hair, the makeup, the teeth. They'd like me for me to go down through that every night, but I didn't go down through that every night because I could see that some of those guys wasn't an overnight success with a move of God across the countryside. So I tried to listen to sane men, good men with good advice and good education. I tried to listen to them. And some of those very men tonight will not even let me stand behind their pulpits. Not talking about any of these guys here tonight in fellowship with us. I'm talking about guys that you used to shout with. And guys that you used to listen to. Guys that used to be my youth camp preachers. Guys that used to be the guys that held me the revivals. And I was a kid and I listened to them. Tonight, brother, sister, if they're not already on TV, they have one. If their wife hasn't already cut her hair, she's fixing to. If they haven't already had a facelift, they might ought to. I'm just telling you, when you head for the shallows, I don't care what your profession is. I don't care where you live or how much money that you got. You are procuring this unto yourself. And so I know that it's happening all the time. I know people are heading for the shallows, and they don't belong there. They really don't. I mean, their soul is crying, and their spirit is dying, and their body is drying, and at the end, the whole story, it ain't going to be nothing but tears. It ain't going to be nothing but heartaches. I mean, the drunkest man in Bedford tonight is going to wake up in his own vomit. the most lethal prostitute that walks the city streets of Seymour tonight. We'll wake up one of these days with a venereal disease. Some of the children in this world that are born with AIDS had nothing to do with it. They just was associated with the wrong crowd. I'm telling you, we're killing ourselves. One step at a time. One shallow adventure at a time. We'd rather have a few little shallow dips in the pool than we had a good old plunge out in the ocean. But it's taking an effect that's tearing us up, and we are watching a generation die. Returning to the shallows. Now this is interesting to me. I ain't gonna preach long, but this is interesting to me. And this may sound like biology 101. But it's okay. We're going to have it. Anyway, science has observed that sometimes when whales beach themselves, they beach themselves to a legitimate distress signal. Let me read. Experts remain puzzled as to why some grounded whales that were free from the shallow waters and transported back out to sea simply returned to another section of the coastline. Park and Wildlife Service directors said that Saturday 100 whales were transported to deep water. They just kept coming back. But Kitchell said, once a whale is trapped in the shallows, it sends out a distress signal, and that call beckons others to help. And so I said to myself, now let me get this just exactly right. I mean, we got this pod and this herd of whales out here that are in deep water doing great. We got a good church going out here, you hear me? I mean, things is going good. They're fishing, they're eating, they're growing, they're producing spiritual young. They've got a real good thing going. But over here in the shallows, we got somebody that's got themselves in trouble. Anybody in here ever read the book Call of the Wild? Anybody ever read about that story about that inner nature that just kept a hollering and a calling? I mean, we get these persons here, and they get over here in the shallow water, and they send out a distress signal. Now, this is a word of warning that I have for everybody tonight in this house. Although we might should respond to the call from the shallow, we should never allow ourselves to get in the shallow water ourselves. Although we might should turn our attention to those that are backslid and those that have walked away, we should never allow ourselves, because of a compromising spirit, to get in the same shallow water that they are in. Because contrary to public opinion, you cannot win them if you are in the same mess that they are in. And so, I recognize something right here, that a call from the shallow, it very well may need our help. 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. The other night, my deacon called me and said he just received a phone call from a guy across town who wanted us to come over and talk to him and pray for him. 30 seconds into the house, I knew that one of us had made a drastic mistake. Hey, and after a few words of conversation, I recognized that that guy wasn't interested in getting me and this deacon to pray with him along a couch. He was only interested in getting me and the deacon to nod our head in approval to his ungodly, homosexual, perverted kind of lifestyle. Of course, of which we didn't, because at that particular time in the morning, I was sleepy. Wasn't in the best mood anyway, and knew that murder was illegal. So we excused ourselves and headed back over to the house. When you allow yourself to get in the same mess that somebody else is already in, you're not, hey, listen, let me tell you what we do. Listen to us. You show me some of our ladies that cut their hair, or they've gone to wearing pants. You listen close. Tell me who they call for advice. Sure they do. They call for the other lady that's already cut her hair, and she's a wearing pants. They're not going to call somebody that'll get in their face and tell them, thus saith the word of the Lord. They want to get advice from somebody that's just as shallow as they are. Well, Brother Hart, do you see anything with country western music? Don't call Loretta Lynn and ask her that. Do you see anything, Brother Hart, with some of this ungodly? Don't call Hugh Hefner and ask him if pornography is wrong. Because people that are in the same shallow are going to feed each other, and they're going to die together, and you ain't ever going to get rescued. from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. And you're backslid in your heart and you know it. Tonight, sitting in this house, you're backslid in your heart and you know it. Because already, if there's not enough Holy Ghost conviction in this room to make you sad, then you have already reacted toward me by being mad. That's the two choices that we have. That's the things that I battle. If there's not enough unity and contentment among the saints of God, and enough power of God with the preachers and the saints praying for the Lord to have His way, then the pulpit is going to be misconstrued as a club pounding, red in the face, as some kind of irritable individual that delights himself in putting people down the road. I ain't trying to put you down the road. I'm trying to get you back out in deep water, because you're going to die lost and go to hell if you keep living shallow. You're not going to make it to heaven if you keep living shallow. I don't care if you believe the Lord's coming now, coming tomorrow, or coming next week. If you're in shallow water, you shall not be in the number when the saints of God are called out of this world. You're going to have to live sanctified. Well, that's not what my church teaches. Leave it. Well, that's not what my Bible says. Then get your King James Version again. And quit looking for some perversion that says it like you believe it. Well, I like the Living Bible. Dead people usually do. But what we're looking for is some paraphrased, parachuted version that'll allow us to catch a little air when the Lord comes back and hopefully lift off of this planet by human means. But I'm going to tell you something. These translations are shallow. Ungodliness is shallow. Preachers that don't preach into the truth are shallow. Television ministries are shallow. These things, brother, sister, are working against our church. You know why I know it? Because you're sitting up late of a night watching the tube when you used to pray for the Lord to have His way. Somebody is getting shallow. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost running up and down my back. Hallelujah to God. God says, stay deep. God says, stay clear of the beach. God says, stay clear of the passion. God says, stay clear of the nakedness. God says, stay clear of the nudity. God says, stay clear of the worldliness. God says that He wants a separated people that ain't got a spot or they ain't got a wrinkle. And to do that, you gotta be deep. Now, if you're a Baptist and you're sitting in this tabernacle tonight, although my pulpit mannerisms may be different than your pastor's and my approach may be different than your denomination and my mannerisms may look more like a child having a fit than a man preaching about a benefit, I want to remind everybody in this house that the Methodist Bible and the Baptist Bible the Lutheran Bible, the Church of God, Pentecost Church of God, Assembly of God, Resemblance of God, and all the rest of the gods. All the Bibles. They read exactly the same. It's in there. I'm telling you, it's in there. Do you hear me? It's in there. When that little girl sat in that church in Oklahoma the night in Shawnee that I was preaching about holiness things of all things, and I started running down the list about wearing breeches, this little Catholic girl jumped up, went home, and told her mama, "Mama, the preacher tonight preached against ladies wearing pants." She said, "I believe it if it's in the Catholic Bible." She turned to the book of Deuteronomy and found it. She said, "I guess Mama had better change her ways. Isn't it amazing that a Catholic lady will just do it on her child's word when she can read it in the Word of God? And we fuss and we fight about it and can't figure out why we don't shout and feel the glory of God and can't get a prayer answered and don't know why we're not having revival. I'm telling you, we're trying to have church in too shallow a water. There's a deep service that we can have tonight in this somebody has to be the president of the Beached Whales Club. Somebody has to be first. I don't know why it is, but somebody does. I mean, somebody had to go first. It starts with a thought, or it starts with a, I don't have to do that. Or it starts with, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Or it starts with, he's just a man like everybody else, puts his pants on like everybody else. Or it starts with a, that's okay, sweetheart. You just listen to mommy and daddy. We'll take care of you. You don't have to pay no attention to him. We pay him. It starts someplace. Somebody has to become the president of the Beach Whale Club. Someplace along the line, the reason your daughter is like she is tonight is because she had an encounter with shallow water and the shallows won. I can't tell you when it was or why it was. It could have been a night of ill-gotten gain. It could have been a night in the wrong atmosphere. It could have been a night in a hallucination, bad dream, drug overdose, alcoholic state, or just a night of lust. I don't know. But brother, sister, when it happens, it just seems like that it continually gets worse. They squirm their way up on the beach until they die there. And I wish to tell you tonight that if you die lost, then go to hell. After sitting in this service tonight, it's your own choice. You made every squirming effort to do it because nobody in this house has to go to hell. Brother Hyde, what if there was a gay man? I've never seen one of them happy yet in my life. What if there was a pervert in the house tonight? The same God that can cast the devil out of a child, that throws himself in the flames and in the fire, can cast that devil out of an individual that makes them want to beach themselves. I'm not just whistling Dixie up here. I'm not playing with little fairies and little angels and Tinkerbell jumping from pew to pew. This ain't Peter Pan on Friday night. We're battling devils. We've got men in our homes that are husbands that are battling demon possession. There are women in our ranks that are battling demonic possession. There are children, there are teenagers that from some frivolity, some pill, some poster, some looking, some inquisitiveness about witchcraft, 1,000 different things, that demonic activity has invaded the very house of God. And don't think it's strange. It's been a battling the saints of God ever since the New Testament. But brother, sister, they were fighting it off then, and we're trying to make excuses for it now, and it's time in our services into a mud hole instead of the water of blessing. There's demonic powers that get in a woman that causes her to forget her motherly instincts. There's demonic powers that get in a man that calls pornography to leap off the page until lust is so conceived in his heart that he looks at womanhood as a thing of enjoyment instead of the helpmate that God has. Be on the beach, and you're going to be out of my reach because I am not going to wade into the shallow waters that I came out of to try to pull you back to depths. And the reason is, Kitchener said once a whale is removed from the shallows or in the shallows, it sends out a distress signal that beckons others. But why, when we get them back out to sea, and there is no more on the beach to call them, they still go back in again. We've never been able to figure out why, after we've rescued them, they still go back. Some of you sitting in this building tonight has been saved. You have been sanctified. You at one time had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You were rescued. Why in the name of God's heaven? Science can't figure it out, so you don't need to expect me to. Why do they go back? Pray, sweetheart. Pray, sweetheart. Some of these whales that were rescued from the shallow waters and taken back out to the depths, they had a revival. They had a youth camp. They had a camp meeting. They had a night of conviction. They had a prayer meeting. How come some of these whales that have been saved from destruction and now, with no reason, nobody's calling you on the bank. Nobody's trying to get... They, on their own premonition, turned and beached themselves again. Now, science said, I can figure out when a calf gets up there in the shallows, and a mom may go in there to help it. And I can figure out how, when a male gets in the shallows, that the pod may try to go in there to help it. But we've never been able to figure out that once they've been helped, why they choose self-destruction on their own. Well, I guess that's because thou hast procured this unto thyself. Because there comes a time that you cannot blame your wife for your ungodliness. It's your choice to go shallow. There comes a time that you cannot blame your husband for the choice that you're making in your life, lady. It's your choice to go shallow. There comes a time that you can't lean back and say, it's that hard preaching. It's that preacher. It's that hard. Once you know that this is right and you turn on your own and go back to the shallows, you can't blame anybody else in this house. Nobody. You may want to blame your hairdresser. Only, who is it? Only somebody knows for sure. You may want to blame your hairdresser. Or you may want to blame a Max Factor. You may want to blame Rev. There's a thousand different things we may want to blame. But the truth of the matter is, if you ain't living holy tonight, and you used to, it was your own choice. If you're not serving God tonight and you used to, it's your own choice. If your family's fixing to split up because of your ungodly lifestyle, it's your choice. We have showed you every night a deep service. We've showed you deep water. We've showed you the deep Holy Ghost. We've showed you the deep oil. We've showed you what it's like to have the glory and the blessings of God. And so if you choose to refuse the salvation of the depths, then I'm just going to have to come down to this little scenario right here. There's a time in your life that you quit following the leader and you've become the leader for the shallow waters. Well, it was my boyfriend. You can't use that, but only one time. The next time, if you let it happen, it's because you did it. Well, my boss at job, you can only use that one time. The next time, when you know better. Pray, sweetheart. Man, didn't you have something on the last night of this camp meeting that would send us out of here with a bang? Yeah. It's called the return to the shallows. I figure you can't have a bigger bang on a Friday night than for some in the congregation to lean back on a camp meeting night and say, this is killing me and I know it. It's killing my marriage and I know it. It's killing my holiness standard and my example to my kids and I know it. It's killing me. There ain't no bigger bang you can possibly have than to know that somebody's telling you on this night, you don't have to lay there and die. You don't have to lay there and fry. You don't have to lay there and cry. All you got to do is swim back and try to see how good it is out in the depths of a good old-fashioned touch of God. Because, brother, sister, He'll still deliver you from alcohol. He'll deliver pornography out of you. He'll take the movie industry out of your heart. He'll put holiness back in your life. Because, brother, sister, they made a deliberate dash to death. You can make a deliberate dash back for the depths. Back for the depths. I was sitting in my driveway fixing to pull out of the house. with my brother-in-law in the truck with me when I heard it. It sounded something like this. I mean, wild. So I grabbed the radio and I said, 599 West Plains. I said, I'm hearing explosions over here off of Melissa Place. He said, stand by. I told Jack, I said, something's going on over here close to the house. You want to go? Put your seatbelt on. We tore out. When I came up on the bypass, what I saw would make somebody's blood stand still that knew what they were doing about life-saving. But here I am. And I see a yellow freight liner fully engulfed. And what was exploding was his tires. Kaboom, boom, boom, boom. So I jumped out of my rig and I ran around in front of that semi. And there in front of me was another small car fully engulfed, occupant inside. I turned and looked and there was another semi engulfed. So I ran for the radio. I grabbed the radio. I said, 599 West Plains. Shut the bypass down. I have two semi-rigs fully engulfed. I have a vehicle fully engulfed. I need rescue. There's somebody in that car. So the chief came back on and he said, 595, what about 599, what about the drivers? And I said, I don't see any drivers. I said, but the cabs are fully engulfed. I said, but I do have somebody in this vehicle. My world stood still. My world stood still. Everything is on fire around about me. And here stands the chaplain of the West Plains Police Department without even a little 5-pound bottle and with a fire extinguisher. My world is exploding and blowing all around me. I'm standing there thinking, wonder what my big brother-in-law thinks about the hot shot now while I'm standing out here watching my world melt boom, right in front of me. In a minute, the assistant fire chief hollered and said, get away, the glass is fixing to be the next thing. And he was right, and I ran from a shower glass. I was just... The day didn't get a whole lot better as we put out those fires and shut down the bypass. As we went up to that automobile and pried that door open, and there sitting in that vehicle was an individual. I don't know what sex. I don't know what color. I don't know. I stood there as we held the sheets, trying to have a little dignity here as we take this individual out of the car. The cameras lined up here along the bank. We trying to keep the newspaper from getting shots of it. So I'm standing here and they bring out this body and they lay it on this gurney. I hear one of the men say, it's a lady. And I watched them cover her up. Then they went to looking for ID. And somehow in the middle of all that madness, her wallet had got off down in beneath one of the seats. And although the whole rig was totally demolished, her ID and everything was burnt, but it was intact. So I'm standing out there on the side of the road, and everybody's taking care of everything, and everything's going on, and the chief is telling me, go to... And then I heard one of the paramedics say, well, this is so-and-so. She works down here at the nursing home. She was probably on her way to work down here at the nursing home. And I said, who'd you say that was? And they told me the name again. Well, I stepped back and I walked down the road. There's just sometimes when things like this happens, there ain't nobody else in this world can help me like my wife can. Ain't nobody. There's just sometimes when I need to be held. I just need to be consoled. I just need to be able to lay my head over on somebody. I just need to. So, I make my way back. I don't care if I have had company. I make my way back home and I say, honey, I said, it's really bad. She said, I've been listening to the scanner. It must be awful bad. Are you okay? I said, I'm okay. I said, but you know who we just took out of the car? No. I said, her name. I said, don't you remember? Last Sunday night, she met me at the back door of my church and said, Brother Height, I love your church. I love your preaching. I love the Spirit of God. Sister Lane, she said it to me. I love the standard that you hold. I love it. But I just personally don't see anything wrong with cutting your hair and wearing blue jeans. And so therefore, I'll not be back. And I said, I wish you'd reconsider, because this is really the lifestyle that'll take you to heaven. And so help me God. The last thing she said before she walked out the door was, I'll take my chance. Now you picture somebody that was in the depths of a move of God and admitted it. In the depths of a church that she enjoyed the preaching and admitted it. In the depths of an old-fashioned place where she enjoyed the glory of God and admitted it. And then look and say, I'm going to take my chance. And be fried to a crisp 4 days later out on the bypass of our town. Now it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You may be willing to take that kind of shallow chance. You may be willing to. I'm not. You may be willing to take a shallow chance. And what if you're right? What if it doesn't matter that you trim or snip? What if it doesn't matter? What if it doesn't matter that you get hooked up with the wrong kind of music, harmony, melody, rhythm? What if it doesn't matter? What if it doesn't matter? What if the fair, what if none of that matters? You ain't lost nothing if you're willing to take that chance. But what if it does? Well, let me tell you what if it does. If it doesn't matter, and I live holy, live sanctified, and preach this gospel, if it doesn't matter, I'm going to make it. If it does matter, and I live holy, and preach this gospel, I'm going to make it. And I'd rather take a 100% chance on going to heaven than a 50-50 chance of going to hell. You would have never done what you're doing now 10 short years ago, but you're shallow. You tried to blame the preacher. You tried to blame the Sunday school teacher. You tried to blame this, you tried to blame that. But now then, the only mistakes that you're making are your own. Your own. And I don't know why. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer, sweetheart. I don't have an answer. But I know this thing. Some of you didn't start this way. You didn't start this way. You promised God down in that altar, if He'd save you and take care of your kids, you'd live holy and raise them right. Shallow. You promised God that night that He filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know there's some guys in this room tonight that aren't in this room tonight. And you know why they're not in this room tonight? They're beached. They're beached. And they think that we're the ones that are in bondage. But the truth of the matter is, we're the ones that are in the depths. We're not bound by the surroundings of God's blessings. We're surviving there. Now, you really deserved a better message on the last night of this service. But I'm going to tell you something right here. Somebody sitting in this house... Somebody sitting in this house tonight had better prepare for a slow, drying, putrefying existence someplace in the shallows of eternity, because you are not going to live like you're living now and go to God's heaven. And I tell you something else. When you come to judgment, and you will, you may never come and hear me preach again, but you will go to judgment. When you go to... You may never come to this campground again. You may never do it. You may never go to your home church again. This may be it. If that's how, this may be it. But I'm going to tell you this. When you go to judgment, and every knee shall bow, And every tongue shall... You have no choice. You have no choice. Tonight, it's corn dogs or whatever. Then you have no choice. No choice. Well, I'm telling you one thing. No, you're not. On that night, it's not the preacher that walks up and slaps your hands. It's an angel that grabs you by the throat and bids you to hold your peace while you stand before God. When every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess and God opens that book, that angel that has our entire life and starts going down the list. And I want to tell you something about this night that you never dreamed in the history of your entire life. It's being recorded under every one of our names. This service and this message is being recorded. It's being listed under Jim Suits' name. It's being listed under Gene Calicott's name. It's being listed under Larry Dalton's name. It's being listed, and I mean no disrespect. It's being listed under Kevin Wayne. It's being listed under Rita Anderson's name. It's being our name, this service right here, this message. This opportunity, and when every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, you will remember the night that you chose shallows when you could have chose the depths. You'll remember it. You'll remember it. When they walk in your hospital room and say cancer, you'll remember it. When they call you in the middle of the night and say car wreck out on the road, and you'll remember it. When you come home someday, buddy, and your bags are packed sitting out on the front lawn, you'll remember it. When you come in sometime, wife, and that husband and the children are sitting in there having a prayer meeting, deciding what they're going to do with a wayward mama, you'll remember this. You'll remember it. Brother Larry wanted to know if I'd come back next year. That's too far down the road for me right now. I'm not sure some of you will be able to wake up in the morning, let alone worry about me coming back next year. You're sitting in this house right now, and you are backslid, and you know you are. You know you are. You know you are. You cringe in your Pentecostal churches, and you never miss. But you cringe the nights that the preacher tightens it down because there's an ounce of condemnation in your heart. There are some backslidden people sitting in this service tonight. There are some backslidden people sitting in this service tonight. I feel just the same way. I feel the same way. I feel the same way that I felt in Savannah, Georgia, that night when the Holy Ghost fell on me. And directed me to the fact that there was somebody, at that particular time, something I don't have no bearing whatsoever. But I feel that same charge of the Holy Ghost. That there's somebody sitting in this tabernacle tonight. That you're going to find out exactly what Jeremiah was talking about when God said, "You don't fear me no more, and I'm going to collect." Father, I feel a lot better preaching about the Holy Ghost. I feel a whole lot more excited about pouring oil in my hands and telling people they can get free. Oh God, have we gotten so shallow that even conviction only remains in the house for 2 or 3 minutes. And the people can pass it off quickly by looking, grinning, smiling, walking. If anybody in this tabernacle or on this campground has sat within the hearing voice of this message, and they've already gotten up and they've walked out of the house of God, they're already over in the kitchen, or they're already making their way to their vehicle, stop them. In the name of God, stop them. Let conviction so permeate their heart that we don't have to deal with one more marriage disruption. That we don't have to deal with one more homosexuality tryst. That we don't have one more fornication to have to cover our eyes. That we don't have one more teenage young lady that we have to bury our shame. That we don't have one more opportunity for somebody that has shouted and felt the glory and the glow of God, who are now sitting in this building tonight, and they are living on leftovers. They're living on leftovers. They're laying in the shallows, remembering how good it used to be when they were swimming in the depths. Let's just keep our heads bowed just for a minute. I just kind of want to wait on the Lord here. It just seemed like, you know, when you know somebody's fixing to die, you don't want them to. You want to keep them as long as you can. Let's just wait on the Lord here just a minute. You know, when you just feel in your heart somebody's just beside themselves and in spite of themselves, or they're going to get up and they're going to walk out the door and slam it behind them and go get in the car. You just want to keep them just as long as you can. Oh, God. Oh, God. Into the Lord, somebody. Yes, the Holy Ghost wants somebody else to help you.
Yea, I say unto thee this night, I call upon thy soul. Yea, I call thee. Wilt thou not heed my call? For my word has went forth unto thee. Yea, I call upon thee. My hand is outstretched unto thee. Wilt thou not come unto me? Wilt thou turn me away? Yea, I'll reach. Come unto me, I bid thee peace. Yea, I will lift thee up. If thou will yield unto me, if thou turnest thy face from me, I will turn my face from thee. Yea, for I will not reach for thee. Yea, I will turn my face from thee. And thou shalt seek outer darkness, and thou shalt have that which thou seekest for. Yea, I call upon thee. Come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, O Shaddai.
Somebody's fixing to take a fearful leap into the shallows tonight in this service. You've walked into churches and heard messages like this for a long, long time, but tonight's the end of the road. Tonight's the end of the road. Is there anybody in this tabernacle? Is there anybody on this campground that's within the sound of my voice? Is there anyone in the concession area? Is there anyone in this room? Is there anybody that recognizes that the Holy Ghost has just delivered me the last message before I wreck out on the bypass? And I've got to heed the voice of the Lord. There's pastors in here that know of people I know not. There's mamas in here that knows of children I know not. I haven't sat down and studied a list of this area. I've just sat down and heard from the Lord today. Somebody in this house that's a-doing now what you used to have never done when you were in the depths. You had better let us pull you back out to deep water tonight. And you better stay there this time. You'll have no one to blame but yourself. Somebody that's in this building that's been promising God, I'm going to make a change, I'm going to turn around, that this thing got carried away and I found myself going farther and farther and farther when I didn't intend for it to be, but just a little note of rebellion. And now it's turned into something so big that I'm condemned every time I hear it. You better let us pull you back out to deep water right now. You better let us pull you back out to deep water right now. You're going to die in shallows. You're going to die in shallows. And you may not believe in heaven, and you may not believe any more in hell right now, then you believe that it's hailing on the outside of this church. But that doesn't change one thing about God's Word. What you believe does not change the mind of God. So this is the call. This is the call. There's backsliders. They're sitting in this house tonight. Backsliders. You were there, and now you are here, and you need to get back there. Backsliders sitting in this house. You used to shout, and you don't anymore, and you need to get back. You used to look holy and live holy, and you don't anymore, and you need to get back. You used to take this Bible and live it and stand on it. Shout amen and glory be to God at messages like this. And tonight you were quiet and silent and reserved and set back, and you were cowered. And you were cowed. And that's because you recognize that you heeded the call of the wild. And you found yourself leaving everything that you knew was right. And now you're in a place that you're almost too embarrassed to admit it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You're the only one that's fooling yourself. All the rest of us know that you're not in deep water. You're the only one that thinks you're convincing anybody. We all know you're not in deep water. We can tell by your prayer life. We can tell by your devotion. We can tell by the way you enter into the worship of God. We can tell. We can tell on Sunday morning. We can tell. We can tell. I got 20 more stories about tragedies. I sure'd hate to walk away from this camp meeting and have 21 stories to tell. You're sitting in this house, and you are a holiness has-been. You are a Pentecostal by birth, Pentecostal by training, Pentecostal by heritage, Pentecostal by lineage, Pentecostal by everything that's within you. But you're in shallow water tonight, and already the dying, drying process is upon you. Why don't you shock hell tonight and stir heaven and get up from where you're seated, walk down to this altar, throw yourselves on the providence of God, and let Him pull you back out into deep water tonight. Some of you teenagers better listen to me. You're heading for a heartache. Some of you young ladies ought to listen to me. You're heading for a heartache. But some of you 40 and 50 and 60 year old people sitting in here tonight trying to cover your life with a smile, a fake, a false, you better listen to me. Going once. Saying something, honey, I'm fixing to sell out the last night of Shady Springs camp meeting. Going once. Do I have a bid in here? Is there anybody in this room? Before I sell out this service right underneath you, is there anybody that would shout, I want to be rescued? We'll sell this service out. We're not going to stay here all night. You're going to stay in eternity for the rest of your being. But we're not going to stay here all night. Going twice. Oh, it feels better now. He's fixing to let up on me. No. Because I got a stinking suspicion that when I sell out this service, you're going to feel worse than you've ever felt in your life. There's going to be a sense of doom. There's fixing to be a sense of gloom. There's fixing to be an area of remorse that you've never had to deal with before. Because you're rejecting me right now, and I'm just the guy from over Missouri. But when I sell this service out, you will have rejected God. So where were we at? Were we going twice? Going twice? Going twice? Where were we at? Were we going twice? Daddy, if your children are in here and you know they're backslid, I'd be praying a hole in heaven right now, because we're fixing to leave them children very shallow. Sister, if you're in this place tonight and you've got a sister in here that's backslid, I'd be praying a hole in heaven. Brother, I'd be praying a hole in heaven. Pastor, if I had a church member in here, I'd be praying a hole in heaven. Church member, if I'd invited somebody to church tonight to be in this tabernacle, or I was sitting by somebody right now that I knew was going to split hell wide open. One time in my life, if it cost me their friendship, I'd look over and say, would you let me help you get back in deep water tonight? I'm turning this tabernacle I'm calling every one of you to evangelism. If you're sitting by somebody right now in this room that you know is lost, backslid, put your friendship on the line. Look over and say, would you let me go and help you get back in deep water tonight? Is there any daughters in here that need to run back to their mamas and ask them if they ought to come pray? Is there any daddies sitting back there that feel like they ought to walk over to their son and say, please, son, let's go get in deep water together? Is there a grandma in this room that feels like she ought to get up and go find her granddaughter and say, please, sweetheart, come and get in deep water with grandma? Is there an uncle or an aunt sitting in this room tonight that knows that they've got a backslidden niece or nephew and you'd like to walk over to them and say, please, sweetheart, come pray with uncle? Fixing to sell the service out. We got folks that are moving. We got people that are going to people. You feel uncomfortable? Good. You afraid somebody's going to come to you? Good. You afraid somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder? Good. Good. Be much better for you to feel uncomfortable now than knowing you're going to stand before God and have no choice. Going once? Does anybody need to go to somebody in this house and ask them to come pray with you? Going twice? I know you may be impatient, but I'd be a fool right now to quit. I'd be a fool right now because I got fishermen. I got some fishermen walking up and down the beach, and instead of trying to skin you, they're trying to get a rope on you and get you back into deep water. I'd be crazy not to give this family a chance. I'd be crazy not to give that boy a chance. I'd be crazy not to give that family back there a chance. I'd be crazy not to give some of the best boys and my friends in this world a chance. Sister, I'd be a fool not to give you a chance. Mom, Dad, if you're in this house and you go to a Pentecostal church and you're not living the holiness way, wouldn't you like to get out of the showers tonight and start enjoying going to church? Wouldn't you like to start enjoying going to church today? Oh, they're coming. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. The tape ministry can't see it, but they're coming. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. There's boys in the altar and there's men. There's girls in the altar and there's friends. There's grandmas and grandpas that are coming.